Welcome to Total Agent Access, where we interview the most inspiring real estate agents in the world to share with you the best advice from our brightest minds. With your host, me, Colin Bredner. Welcome back to the podcast. We are here with none other than Leanne Pratt. And Leanne is a new-ish realtor based in Calgary. How are you today, Leanne?
I am wonderful. Thanks for asking. Yeah, really good. How are you, Colin?
I'm having a great day today. So
good.
Life is good. It is sunny out and it is not snowing, but in Calgary, I hear it is.
Yeah, it's snowing here, just really lightly, but that's okay. We're in third winter, so third spring is coming soon, and then hopefully no fourth winter. Hopefully third spring just stays. Yeah.
Now, like I said, Leanne's been licensed for 2 years, and what I really like to do on this podcast is talk to an array of people and, you know, get a little flavor of where you are in the business, but first, tell us, where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Not from Calgary originally, which is normal. There's not a lot of people born and raised in Calgary that are here, but I'm actually born in Nanaimo, so raised on Vancouver Island. Yeah, I'm a BC girl. And my spouse and I left BC, I guess 2014, came to Alberta the first time. We went back to BC for a promotion that I took and decided that it was really not where we wanted to be. So we came back to Alberta again, and we've been in Calgary ever since, so the last 5 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What do you like to do in your spare time in Calgary?
That is a really good question. I love my workout studio. So I try to go to my workout studio 5 times a week. It's Bar, which I didn't think I would love. I do. It's just this, like, amazing mixture of HIIT and weightlifting and yoga and Pilates and ballet. And it's, yeah, I love it. So I go there a lot. I'm part of a book club, not to make myself out to be too nerdy, but I am a nerd. So
hey, us geeks got to stick together.
Oh, I love it.
I am all about geekdom. As you can, if anybody's watching this on video, you can see all my tchotchkes behind me. I am full on geekdom and I embrace every bit of it.
And, you know, there's so many different ways to be nerdy. So I love our book club. I love to explore the city. Honestly, I might be biased, but I think we live in the best city. So Calgary's got so much to do in terms of cafes and restaurants and, you know, hiking and outdoor amenities. And I truly love the city. And then I spend a lot of time at the dog park.
Excellent. What kind of dogs do you have?
I have a Staffy. So she looks like a pit bull. Sweetest little baby. Just the one. That's our child. So.
Oh, you just got one. Yeah. Fantastic. I have three.
You have three?
Yeah. I sort of got talked into two more.
Mm. Oh, at the same time? One to three.
Kind of. A little bit after the other. So we have a rescue.
Yeah.
Which is a Rottweiler Cross. Big guy. He's 100 pounds. Wow. He is the world's best dog.
I love Rottweilers.
We have two French bulldogs who are sisters, but from a different litter.
That's the best mix. So my partner's like, we should get a pug. I was like, no, we're not having a pit bull looking dog and a pug. He's like, it would be hilarious. Or a wiener dog. I was like, okay, I could do a wiener dog. So that's okay, cute.
Yeah, you should try to say that's the best mix to my big guy, because he still, after a year, is unimpressed with our choices. He was living the dream life.
Yeah. Only child.
He had everything he wanted. Child. He's a big couch monster. And then along come these two yappy little dogs that like to take control over everything. So
we want to get another. We've been talking about getting a puppy for 6 years. Ours is 8 now. And so we've been talking for 6 years. It's going to be a reality check. She's the most spoiled, like, only dog, you know, millennial baby. So, yeah, we'll see.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. So back onto the subject of real estate. What did you do before you were licensed?
I was in retail, actually, for many years, which is weird to me still to say. It's never where I meant to be, and it was never where I was supposed to be. But I was in retail for probably 7 years, and then bars and restaurants in the service industry before that. But yeah. It's I actually was with Bed Bath & Beyond for 7 years, which RIP, that company is obviously no more.
Okay. And
yeah, they were really, really good to me. Just at the end of the day, it was never where I was supposed to be. So I was a district manager for them at the end of it. And I loved it, honestly. Like, I had multiple provinces. I traveled a lot for work. And I really enjoyed the role and kind of have always been in leadership roles. And pre-COVID, they eliminated that district manager role, put me back into a store as a store manager, which honestly was my worst nightmare, but wound up being just a really incredible blessing in a lot of ways. And then I decided to get a real estate license. So
what do you think you learned in retail that made you so good at being in real estate?
That's a really good question. There's a couple things. I would say the organization piece is so crucial. Like, you know, as a DM or as a store manager, there's so many balls in the air all the time, and you're responsible for so much that I feel like that transition to real estate was so seamless. And you know better than anyone calling me how many balls are in the air at all times for real estate. I don't think people, sometimes too many to count. I don't think people really know everything that goes on behind the scenes. So that transition was so easy because I am so meticulous and organized and diligent and, you know, in all my routines and things. So that transition was really easy. And then I suppose the other piece is client care, but not necessarily client, like customers, like my team, you know, the stores that I led and the team that I had. I truly love my team so much, and that kind of care for my team and their well-being, I feel like transferred over to my clients. Obviously client care too, right? Retail operates based on clients coming into a store and purchasing and customers, but on a deeper level, the team that I had, their well-being, just that was such an easy transition to then taking care of clients. And that's truly what fuels me and truly what I loved about being a store manager and district manager. I specialized in training and development. So I feel like it's just this natural progression. You know, first time home buyer, it's like, let me take you through the steps and guide you. Like, it fuels me. I love it. So lots of things.
Hold those hands of those first time buyers along the way, because for them, and we forget about it. Like, I've sold thousands of homes. Just forget what it's like to be a first-time home buyer, to be perfectly honest, because we've done it so many times now, right?
Yep. Or first-time investor.
First-time investor is really super worried. So here we are, almost in COVID. What drew you to becoming a real estate agent, and especially at that time?
Honestly, nothing. And I know that sounds really odd. I never woke up and was like, I want to be a real estate agent. That never crossed my mind. My partner's best friend, you know, they've been friends for, years and years and years, and he's a real estate agent. So I guess his broker wanted to expand his team. So, you know, my spouse came home one day and with his best friend, and they were like, hey, we think you should do a real estate license. And I was like, no, it's not for me. Truly was like, I know, had never thought of it, which is weird. And then they proceeded to tell me that it was weird because, you know, we've invested in real estate for like 10 years. I am obsessed with interior design. It's one of my greatest passions. We, you know, buy older properties and we renovate them ourselves. So in terms of the building, the design, the rehab, the flips, like, I love everything about the real estate industry. And I had never considered being a real estate agent. So when they were like, especially like you said, during COVID, when there were so many people out of work, were frantically looking for a job, I had an incredible opportunity put in front of me to join a broker that I respect so much. I don't know that I would have done my real estate license if I wasn't going to him directly. Him and his wife are incredible. So, you know, my partner was like, you know, just try. What the heck? You are in a career that you never meant to be in. And like I said, I lost that DM role right before COVID. He's like, it's not where you want to be. So he's like, what's the worst that can happen? You fail and you try something else. So I was really lucky to have this opportunity presented to me and have an incredible, very small team I was joining, an incredibly supportive partner. And it's been the best blessing, like truly. So.
Yeah, that's really funny. I also never thought about it.
No, that means
I was a chef.
What?
I know. I tell people that, and it's crazy. I, you know, worked in restaurants at all things. Like, I served, I've done everything in restaurants. And I got to the age where I was like, well, you know, falling in love with a woman who doesn't work those crazy hours helps a lot too. It's very motivating that you want to spend time with them. And I knew, you know, when I was about 34 years old, I had to make a change. And I had a couple of friends like you who were real estate agents. They always looked like they were having a great time. And I was like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I'm technically in sales, owning a restaurant, you know, and running it. Yeah. With some partners, of course, because restaurants are big and very, very expensive.
Oh, man. The restaurant industry is wild. Like, that's a whole,
I don't know. Looking back at it now, I don't know why anybody would get into it, to be honest. But
I mean,
some people love it that much.
100%. Yeah. That's Colin. I didn't know that about you. That's so cool.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm coming out, as I would say, on this podcast.
Sharing it. I think you touched on something that I love so much, that you were 34 and I think I must have been 30, maybe 29 when I was doing my license. But, you know, I feel like sometimes people have this idea that like 30 is too old to start over or 40 is too old. It's not. You have your whole life ahead of you. And like, wouldn't you rather do something that makes you so happy? Spend time with the person that you love, right? Change your life. Like, I love that you said you were 34. I think I was about 30 when I quit. And this was life-changing, right?
Yeah. And then at that point, you're like, okay, why didn't I do this sooner? This is so great. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, it was all of a sudden I had this freedom. Because when I made that decision, I knew a couple things that I wanted to do. Once you work for yourself, you can never not work.
You can never go
for
back.
Yourself. You can't go back. No. It's impossible.
The autonomy you have over your life and your day, it's life-changing.
Yep. If you have the motivation, right? Mm-hmm. If you have the motivation, some people don't and they need the structure. And those people, if they're really into real estate, just join a team. Yep. That's like having a job because you have somebody that can give you the structure. But I knew that I wanted to work for myself, and I knew that I didn't want to have any staff. Last restaurant, I had 60 people. It was like herding cats.
I feel that so hard. Obviously, coming from a district manager role, I had 15 stores, you know, across three provinces. And then when I was in a store, I think we had 30 staff. We had a small store. You are responsible for everyone. Your success is their success. Primarily, their failures are your failures, right? It's a lot of work, and not everybody is made to lead teams. And those who are, I think that's a really special breed. So like you running a restaurant, or, you know, myself, like I loved it. It really gave me life. But at the end of the day, not doing that anymore. It's like, it's a whole new world. You are responsible for you and your clients, of course, but like one person.
Now I have a team of five. Yeah, I'm always looking to scale. Like, I can't stay stagnant. I always am looking to scale. And anyways, was it pretty scary when you got your license, everything shut down? Because I know for the March of 2020, my phone didn't ring. And then April came around and it didn't stop ringing. But when you got a license, were you worried? At that time, like, holy smokes, the whole world is shutting down. How did you overcome that?
I think I started my license in 2021. Isn't it crazy that it's only been a couple of years and I already don't remember time frames? But COVID is just like, I think, a black spot for so many of us.
that whole 2 years is a big blur for me.
I started my license in 2021. Yeah. And then I quit my full-time career summer 2022. Now, I wasn't licensed during COVID, but I do remember we bought our fourplex March 2020. Like you said, the whole world shut down. And March 17th, we closed on our fourplex property. And we thought, what have we done?
Yeah.
And I lost my job at the same time, my district manager role. So we had just closed on this fourplex. And I walked into work a week later and they said, we're so sorry, we're eliminating your role, and not because of COVID, because the company was struggling, which now clearly, you know, they're no longer. But so I'd be so interested to hear how your experience during COVID was, because like I said, for me, I was still working. I actually still went to work every single day during COVID, but it wasn't in real estate yet.
Yeah. I, you know, during that time, I guess it would really, you know, I was in Hawaii for the February of 2020, and then comes March, we come home, and literally, luckily, everything didn't shut down while we were still in Hawaii, but March of 2020, everything shut down, and I got on the phone, and I just started phoning everybody that I knew. I started phoning people that maybe were a little older and maybe were scared and frightened to get out. And I just let them know, hey, if you need anything, I'm healthy. I got a car.
Yeah.
Give me a shout. I can go and I can get you something. Because when they locked everything down, we didn't know that we could even leave the house. You know, you just didn't know.
Yeah.
None of us had ever been in it. You know, funny enough, my parents, who are 90, shrugged it off and kept going because they had been through World War II, and they had been through, you know, my dad had polio, and they were just like, well, whatever, we're still going and doing the stuff. Man, but
we've seen some things in their lifetime.
Absolutely. Holy. And our generation, we didn't know what to expect. So, you know, I got on the phone and I just started talking to people, not about real estate, just about what can I do for my community and helping others and letting them know that they're not alone. Because for a lot of us, we're stuck in our houses. A lot of people were afraid to go out the front door. And I just want to let them know that they weren't alone. And, you know, about a month and a half after doing that, all of a sudden, my phone just took off. I had my best year ever in 2022 ever. Like, and I've been selling for, it'll be almost 18 years this year. And it was literally nuts. And that's when I had to make the decision, okay, I need to leverage other people's time. So, you know, I didn't have an assistant before because I'm the type of guy that likes to do everything himself. And I learned that during COVID, that you can't do everything yourself. You have to leverage other people's time.
And it's hard to let go.
It is. And you believe in the self-made man, and the self-made man is not self-made. Everybody has the help of other people. So I had to let that sort of portion go. And then bringing on a couple of buyer and seller agents and stuff like that, and just enabled us to scale from there. So that was basically my experience. 2022 for me is a big blur. I don't even know where it went. I literally worked every single day of that year, every day.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was great. I learned a lot. And most importantly, I helped a lot of people during that time. So let's look back. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I love that you said you helped a lot of people. And I think, you know, not everyone is in real estate for that reason. And I get it, right? Different people are fueled by different things. But for me, it's the same, just this ability to help and guide and get people, you know, to accomplish these incredible goals that they have. There's something so powerful about that. I love that.
Yeah. I think I've said this on every podcast episode so far, but those of us that have worked with the public in previous, I think we're a different breed where we have the heart of a servant. And we love to serve. That's what we love to do. And I think that is what makes a very, very good real estate agent.
I agree with that. I agree. This ability, you know, not even ability, but the desire to want to help. And like you said, a servant heart and the desire to give. And I agree. It's also really cool to hear that 2020 was such an incredible year for you, because I think obviously for so many people, 2020, 2021, and 2022 were some really tough years. And I had a very different year in 2020, but it was in 2022, but truly one of the best years of my life. Like, I quit my corporate role of 7 years, started real estate, had like to come back to what we were talking about earlier, that freedom. I had never had a summer off like that before. I lived my best life that summer.
And you know what? There is nothing wrong with that. You know what? Like, you only live once.
Yes. The memories I have from that summer and the freedom, it was intoxicating. Like, I think, and I know you can attest this too, when you've worked for someone else your whole life, right? I've always, especially those last few years, I've always been in leadership roles. I've always been in high level roles. I've always been responsible for so many people. Just have all that taken away. It was intoxicating. You know, we went home to Vancouver for 2 weeks at Christmas time. I'd never done that before. You know, bars and restaurants and retail, they operate 364 days of the year, every day, all day. So it's just like, yeah, 2022 is a really special year. And 2023, also one of the best years of my life. So it's so cool to hear the positive for you as well.
Yeah, being able to get away at Christmas time was an absolute novelty for me, because in the restaurant, yes, and I've worked in hotels and other things, yeah, too, that's our busy time. Like, leading up to Christmas, you are jam-packed and you're working from the morning to the night.
And it's holiday period. You're not allowed to take holidays. Yeah, period.
Yeah, exactly. You have Christmas Day off, and then, you know what? We're open for brunch on Boxing Day. So if you could now look back and give yourself a piece of advice for when you started out, what would you say to yourself?
That's a deep question. You know, truly,
they're all deep questions on this podcast.
I'm excited. Truly, I wouldn't change a thing. Honestly, I would. All of the years that I spent with that company, you know, the moves I've made for them, like I said, I've been back and forth, BC and Alberta a few times, and because of the promotions that they've offered me, and that company's moved me a couple times, and I truly wouldn't change a thing. The last couple of years, especially that I was with that company, and like I said, I was in that district manager role, and then I was put back into a store manager. Especially the last 2 years I was in a store, the learning was invaluable. That, like, it's hard to articulate sometimes, but I went into such a broken store, such a broken space, to be able to turn it around, lead a team on that level. It's very different when you're a district manager. You're very far removed, right? You sit in your little office. You pop into stores every once in a while. So anyway, I truly wouldn't change a thing. What my team taught me, what I learned in the last year is was profound for me, honestly. So I wouldn't have changed a thing. Everything happened exactly as I was supposed to.
I love that. I really do. So, you know, in life and in work, we've all had those moments. And I think we've touched a little bit on a few of them here where you have those moments of clarity and it all makes sense, you know. I call it the aha moment. Mm-hmm. What aha moment do you have that sticks out for you that helps push you forward?
I don't know if it's necessarily like one really profound moment, but there's been so many little moments along the way where it's just like, this is where I'm supposed to be. This is 100% where I'm supposed to be. And it took me a long time to find that. But this, like we talked about, you know, waking up every day and having the freedom and autonomy over my life and my schedule and my day, working with the clients that I want to work with. I swear I work with dream clients every single day, and it's so rewarding.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Working with dream clients and how incredible it is. How do you attract your dream client, though? Because everybody gets stuck with some that are just absolute nightmares, and then the dreams come along. I don't know
where they come from. Keep going, because you hear horror stories, right? You totally hear horror stories.
I've had some, and it makes all the difference. And now, I guess 18 years later, I know how to go about it and get those dream clients. And more so, if a client comes that just isn't the right mix, we just don't work with them. Mm-hmm. It's just plain and simple. Going back to, this is your life and you get to make the decisions and live a life where you're happy and fulfilled. You can't spend your time with those clients. And it's really hard when you first start.
I was just about to say that. Yep.
Yeah, it is super hard because it is very difficult to start getting clients and build upon that. 18 years later, I don't have to worry about that. We have systems, we have people coming, we have lots of referrals. But how do you do that at the beginning?
You know, it's okay. First, I feel like you touched on something so important, which is it's true when you're a new agent, right? Any business coming your way, you're like, please, I'll help anyone. Like, I feel like I didn't have that experience, and we can talk about this. I'm sure it'll come up, you know, more and more as we talk, where it's like, I was so fortunate with everything that was provided to me when I started in real estate. Like, I was given such a start that most agents do not get, and we can dive deeper into that later. And I'm so aware of that and so grateful for that. I have a hard time articulating how grateful I am for everything that was done for me when I was starting out. But funnily enough, like 40% of my business last year came from my workout studio. 40%. Those are girls. It's primarily a women's studio. Just a couple odd guys there too, some husbands. But I love that studio. I love that community. I love those women. Like, those are my dream clients. The people like me at that workout studio, you know? So it's like, that was a huge portion of my business last year. And I'm forever grateful to everyone at that studio.
I totally get that, because you're putting yourself out there into situations, doing things that you like, and it's public. So the other people there are just like you, and absolutely, you start forming relationships with them.
Genuine relationships.
I tell everybody, the key to this business is forming relationships and deepening them.
I could not agree more.
So get yourself out there doing stuff. Like, I used to CrossFit a lot.
Yes.
And guess where a lot of my business came from?
And it's so organic, because you're not there. You're not there like, okay, that guy needs a house. That's not the intention. You're truly there because it's something you love that fulfills and, you know, drives you every morning or day, whatever it is. And then you meet like-minded people. So yes.
And like-minded people attract, right?
Absolutely. And I swear, like, it's sometimes hard to say this stuff without sounding like very, I don't want to say like woo-woo or millennial Gen Z, but truly, I think you and I are very similar in our mindset. We're like, you know, the energy you put out is the energy you attract. And the way I've seen that in my business and with my clients is wild to me. And I don't know. It's a lot of my business comes from our website as well, right? We've got a website, our leads come in. And even there, I'm like, how do I keep getting connected with the most incredible people? I don't know. And it doesn't matter their age. You know, I've helped clients that are in their 60s and 70s downsizing, who I truly love. And I still go over and I have dinner with them, and they have me over for wine so I can see the renovations they're doing in their condo. I love those too. And I've helped, you know, people my age in their early 20s. It doesn't matter the age. They could be in their mid 50s. I still love them. Like, the way that I'm connected with people, I'm still not sure. I've only really had one experience where I was like, oh, those people were not my people. And it didn't come out till the very end of the deal and their buying process. But I don't know. I just think that good people get connected with good people, and the energy you put out is the energy you receive. And it's been really powerful. So I don't have any mathematical formula.
That is okay. That is okay. I think you just keep doing what you're doing, being out there, being genuine.
Yes.
And attracting organically, because nobody wants to be sold to, right?
No. And in this day and age, you know, I think real estate has changed so much from what it was maybe 10 or 20 years ago. And again, you'll really be able to speak to this. And for me, like, even had a girlfriend say to me when I was doing my license, she was like, oh, do you really want to be a realtor? They're so slimy. They have this bad reputation, you know, used car salesman kind of thing. And I was like, oh, I hope no one thinks of me that way. And now that I'm in it, like, I feel like the agents I encounter, again, there's always going to be one off where you're like, oh, that person was not my vibe. That's okay. Everyone's different personality type, but for the most part, the agents that I meet are incredible, like, blow me away, the best people. And I think that I hope the perception of realtors is changing, because inside the industry, I truly feel like are these incredible people. I just got so side-railed. Where were we going with this? What were we talking about?
No, that's okay, because I fully agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I think the bad reputation came like pre-internet. And I do hope that is changing. Of course, there is going to be bad, you know, there's bad doctors, there's bad dentists, there's bad lawyers,
there's
all kinds of bad professionals that shouldn't be in the career that they are.
Absolutely.
And it's the same with ours.
Yeah.
It just is what it is.
Yeah.
So
being genuine. You, sorry, yes. Keep going. Go ahead.
Here's one of my other deep questions. Can you open up your toolbox and share with our listeners, what are your marketing secrets? What has worked for you when you first started and what is working for you right now?
Ooh, that's a very good question. I kind of alluded to this a little bit in a previous question, but I genuinely was just set up to be so successful in ways that it's not the norm. And that's a very, I feel like that's a very corporate thing for me to say, to be like, be set up for success. And I came from a very corporate world, but I really was like, so I joined a very small team, husband and wife, and they have a couple agents and they're including my spouse's best friend, right? Which is how we got connected. And they just, I don't know if they saw something in me or they wanted to build out a team in Calgary. They're actually based out of Kelowna now. So they were in Alberta for many years, moved their family to Kelowna. And they did so much for me when I first started that, like, again, I don't have enough thank yous and gratitude till the end of time to thank them. But they, you know, built this incredible website for me when I first started for Calgary. And that generated a lot of business for me. Like, they took care of the marketing and things like that. We had a real estate coach that they, like, they're, yeah, I could go into the depths of it. But they, I don't feel like personally I've done a lot up until this last year where I've taken over more and more. And even then, I think our website, like, I don't have my face on a billboard. I don't have my face on a bus station. I don't think that I will. Social media obviously is this incredible way to connect people. And while I don't always love social media, it is this like necessary evil for real estate. I'm sure you feel the same way. But it's also so powerful because like people really get an idea of you and who you are authentically. And to come back to what you said, Colin, about being genuine, people don't want to be sold to. They don't want to work with someone who they feel is disingenuous, and people smell that, they sense it. It's so,
we call it commission breath.
Oh yeah, okay, I like that. I like that. It's just like
you don't have commission breath.
No, so I don't personally don't feel like I do a lot of marketing. Honestly, I somehow get these dream clients off our website. I still don't understand, but I suppose like social media is really it, and being out in the community. Like I am my marketing everywhere I go, and just the way I interact with people and how I am and how I serve and, you know, how I show up every day for other people. I don't feel like I have any marketing secrets.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah. Because I think showing up, being out in the public, you know, being at your workout place.
Oh yeah.
I think that volunteering. Is, yeah. It's all marketing in a way. Right. And I think it's much more genuine.
Absolutely. And
right?
Talking about the way the real estate industry has changed, I think back in the day, it's like if you didn't work for a big brand name brokerage, you were a nobody. People wanted to work with you because you worked for, you know, this certain brokerage. That's not the case today in so many ways. Like people want to work with you because they trust you. They know you. They like you. They know that you're going to take care of them through this insane thing that they're going through. So at the end of the day, it's who you are as a person that's selling yourself, not the team that you work for, not the brokerage, not the office, not the car you drive.
People know, like, and trust humans.
Yeah.
They don't do business with brands.
Not in this day and age.
A brand can maybe pull in some trust or have some sort of recognition, but that's all. It's all changing. It's all about you.
Yeah.
You as a human, as a real estate agent.
Especially in this
industry. Yeah. For a lot of us, you know, success doesn't come easy. And for a lot of us, we sacrifice time for success. How do you work on keeping a work-life balance? And what advice could you share?
Find yourself a spouse that reins you in. I am so grateful for the partner that I have. Like, he's the most incredible guy. And we've been together a long time. You know, we've been together 10 years and he's not in the real estate industry. And for that, I'm very grateful. I think it would be really hard to have two partners as agents, because if you are programmed to work, and I am someone who will work day and night, you know, my team used to make fun of me back in the day because I would work a 10-hour day, at the time, Bye Bye Baby, when I was a store manager, I'd work 10 hours there. I would come home and I would renovate and work in one of our units that we were building for 4 or 5 hours. Like, if I don't have someone to stop me, I won't sleep. So real estate is not the best industry for that, because you can operate 24 hours a day. So I'm very, very, very grateful to have a partner that will just sometimes say to me, hey, put your phone away for an hour. You'll put it on silent, or hey, we're going to go away on a trip. And he is the best reminder for me that it is so important to be present with the people that you love, because it's so easy to get enveloped in real estate and in this industry and work every minute and be so glued to our phones. And like, that's a part I really don't like. And then I suppose the other thing too is like, I really try to take the mornings for myself. And by mornings, I mean like 5:30 in the morning. I'm a 5 a.m. kind of gal. So I get up and I meditate and I journal and I write in my gratitude journal and I read for a little bit every morning. And like, truly, I don't have kids. I don't know how people with kids operate on a daily basis. Like, your whole day is given to someone else. And even as an adult with no kids, like, I feel like that morning time is the only time we get to ourselves. So I really try to take that for me. And then I go to my workout class at 6:30 and we start our day. So that's it. Otherwise, I would work myself.
Yeah, no, that's really good that you have the boundaries to set, because I fully agree with you. If you let this career run, it will take over your life. You will work every minute of the day, and eventually you have to pump the brakes, or, you know, your spouse leaves you, you know, if you're never around, right? Seen that happen way too many times. So,
and in any industry. Yeah.
Yeah. In any industry. Absolutely. What is the one thing that has you most excited about the future of your real estate business?
Honestly, this is maybe like the cheesiest answer. I'm sure everybody says it, but just that there is endless opportunity in real estate. Like, it's so, I think that's why a lot of people get into this industry is, you know, you have no boss and you make your own hours and you make infinite commission and all these things, which is not true for some of those things, right? But it's for me, the opportunity is endless, which is also simultaneously incredibly overwhelming. Where can I go? What can I do?
And where should I not go?
And oh my gosh, and shiny object syndrome and all these things. But for me, it's this ability to help people and build a future for myself and my partner and travel the world, and this idea that maybe we don't have to work forever. Like, real estate is so powerful. So powerful, whether you're buying your first home or you're buying your first investment or you're building your investment portfolio, whatever it might be, real estate for me really just offers this opportunity to work hard now in hopes that we don't have to work forever. We have this whole life to live and we have loved ones we want to spend time with and we have more countries we want to see. So for me, it's just this idea of the freedom that we can work towards and work hard now for. So, I get so inspired.
I love that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give our listeners three actionable takeaways that you think that every agent should be doing in their business right now.
Okay. I've got to say the first one is get out in the community. We talked about that too, Colin, whether it's a workout studio or, I don't know, a hip-hop class or a cooking lesson, like, get out in the community, meet people, build those relationships. Volunteering as well. Like, I just think it's such a good way to give back. There are three things people should be doing. I think this maybe goes hand in hand, but somewhere along the lines, like, client retention. You know, there are relationship-based agents and there are transactional agents. And for me, like you said, this whole industry is relationships. So what are we doing for the clients that we have and the clients that have worked with us and trusted us in the past? You know, how are we fostering those relationships? And keeping that relationship alive. So to me, I think there's so much focus on, well, how do we meet new people? How do we generate new leads? But it's like, okay, well, what about the people that we've worked with, who've trusted us with such a massive decision? So I think a greater focus on the relationships that we've already built, like, that's a really big one for me. And maybe unpopular opinion on this last one, but continuous learning. Like, the only thing constant is change. We all know that. But especially in this world that we live in, like, things change so fast and things evolve so quickly. So what are we doing to keep up? I don't know. I feel very lucky to live in Calgary. Our real estate board's incredible. And we have like a little baby realtor university here in the city that our real estate board has. And they offer different courses, whether it's online webinars or in person. And I just think we have this incredible opportunity to learn all the time. And so many people don't. They're just stagnant day to day. And that's just not good enough for this, especially this industry.
Yeah. I don't understand people who can be stagnant. I love to learn and I'm obsessed with it. Like, talk to my wife. I spend a little bit too much on books. I love to read. Same. And I don't know how many courses I've bought. I don't know how many books I've read. but I'll just consume in, you know, yes. everything and keep growing, because I think that's what life is about, really, is to be growing as an individual.
There's so much to learn. If I could go back to school and do a second degree and a third degree, 100% I would. There's so much to learn. It's infinite. How do we, like you said, how do we grow and continue to be a better person? How do we grow and be better in our trade and our craft? And how do we help people? How do we understand them better? It's just, there's so much to learn and not enough time to learn it. But again, maybe you and I are just nerdy in the same way.
I think so.
Yeah, me too.
I think listeners of this episode are going to be like, yeah, you guys are a little nerdy.
That's okay.
I'm good with that. I will be a nerd all day. I own a Tesla, and people always assume that I'm some kind of environmental guy. And I remind them all the time, I didn't buy this to save the environment. I bought it because it's the closest thing to the Millennium Falcon that I could find.
I feel like my partner is the same way. Yeah. He's like, like electric vehicles. He's like, it's just forward thinking, a new type of technology. Yeah. He's nerdy in such a different way. Him and I, not the same nerds.
So what do you see in the future for organized real estate, and what are our challenges?
I think, speaking of learning and development, that to me is like one of the greatest policies of the real estate industry is that, again, I do think it's changing, thankfully, but you know, this idea that so many agents, they do their license and they're just given a desk and okay, go. There's no training, there's no mentorship, there's no development, there's no onboarding. You know, this is an industry where we're handling the biggest purchase of most people's lives. The barrier to enter is very low, right? You can do a $20,000 bachelor degree, or you can do a $2,500 real estate license and make infinite commission. There's a lot of people that do their license to come full circle. Maybe that shouldn't, right? There's a lot of people in certain industries that's just not the industry they should be in. And real estate is one of them. So I think maybe this threshold to enter, but also too, if we are having so many people, you know, doing their license and getting into real estate, how are we supporting them? How are we training them? How are we onboarding them so that they can be as successful as possible? You know, I feel like that's why I had the most incredible first year and an incredible start to my second year, is so much was done for me to be set up that way. And that's just not the norm. And I feel like, you know, from all my girlfriends that are in real estate and the people that I'm meeting and this kind of new generation coming in, they do want more. Right? They want to be part of the team. They want this training. They want mentorship. They want to make sure that they know what they're doing, because it's scary as hell out there trying to be a real estate agent without any of the above. So I think a huge fallacy is lack of training and development and mentorship. But I do feel like that's changing, and that makes me really, really happy to see. And then, I mean, obviously this huge lawsuit with NAR and the states and commission, you know, I feel like that's going to trickle down.
And how it's going to pass off here into Canada. Absolutely. Now. How it's going to go as well. Just one thing that you talked about training and stuff like that. That's one thing that I could never understand about our business, is the amount of people that get into it and they just are so, they want to be a solo agent. And
that's so scary.
I don't understand why, when you begin, why not find somebody to mentor you? And or join a team, and it doesn't have to be forever. If you want to be the big dog eventually, be the big dog. But you can't. It's really, really difficult to be the big dog right out of gate.
I come
from a background being a chef.
Yeah,
I apprenticed for 4 years. Imagine if they had the same sort of thing in real estate, where you had to apprentice for 4 years.
Yes, but
I always say, you know, like, find somebody that will take you under their wing and help you along and show you the ropes, or join a team where they feed you business, because that's the hardest thing to do at the beginning, is to get leads.
Yes.
Get leads and know how to convert them. Knowing how to convert them is probably the harder than getting the leads, but converting them into real clients is probably the hardest.
To answer your questions, like, Again, I agree. Now, I feel like I had a leg up getting into real estate because, like I said, we invested for 10 years, which makes me feel so old to say, well, we've invested in 10 years before I did my license. Well, I have a huge background in real estate to start with. And, you know, like in terms of building, renovations, investment, the buying process, like that was all very familiar to me. Though, even if you've bought a couple of properties, it's different to go through that process versus helping a client on the selling side. So anyway, but to your point, yeah, like to me, someone that's never purchased a home in their life or sold a home or been through anything real estate related, to do your license and then want to go solo, even for someone that had a bit of background, absolutely not. There's so much risk. There's so much legality. Not having someone to be able to call and be like, hey, Colin, I'm doing X, Y, Z. What am I supposed to do? Where am I going? What form do I need? You know what I mean? Like not having someone ask those questions, super scary to me. All the power to you. No, it was not for me.
Yeah, I totally hear you. So in general, and we touched on this, realtors are a fairly giving bunch. What are you doing to give back to your community?
Love that question. Like I said, I feel really lucky to be a real estate agent here in Calgary. We have a phenomenal real estate board. So CREB, the Calgary Real Estate Board, they put out all kinds of volunteer opportunities for us. I love it. So I volunteer a few times whenever it pops up with Habitat for Humanity. If you know me or have ever followed along my real estate journey, like I said, we have rental properties. I love building. Put me in steel toe boots and coveralls. I am actually the happiest there. Kicking down drywall, putting it back up, framing, mudding, taping, laying tile, flooring. That is my absolute favorite. We're in the process of just finishing mudding and taping one of our units. So I love volunteering with Habitat for Humanity. It's just such a well-aligned partnership with Craig and Habitat. So I love to volunteer there. Ronald McDonald House, and over there over Christmas, which was really special. I really do love the volunteering opportunities when they come up. And then my girlfriend and I co-host a women's real estate meetup, which I love, and it's for female investors. We just found in Calgary that there's lots of real estate investing meetups and things offered, but they're mixed and it's primarily men, right? Real estate investing, even though a lot of women are involved with it, it's primarily men kind of like running the show, or it's spouses of the men. So, right, like us women didn't really feel like we had a space. So I co-host, it's called WINC, so the Women's Investor Network of Canada. And we've just built this incredible community of women here that invest. And it's a free thing that we offer. Some months there's a charge, but mostly free. And it's just a service that we wanted to provide to the community here in Calgary because we felt like it was missing for women. And it's just
an incredible space.
Yeah.
Love that. Good on you.
Thanks.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So, are you ready for it? The rapid fire round.
I'm a bit nervous.
Ah,
okay, I'm ready.
Be prepared. Mm-hmm. What is one piece of technology that you couldn't do without and why? And you can't say the MLS or your cell phone.
Am I allowed to say my Surface Pro? It's like a giant cell phone.
Pick another one.
Oh, GPS.
There you go.
What
is the best book you've ever read and why?
Oh my gosh. Can I pick a couple? Books. Okay. Business books, The Compound Effect and The Go-Giver. Love them. For life books, Miracle Morning by Hal. Oh, it's such a good one. The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. That book really changed my life. And The Mountain Is You by Brianna Wiest. If you want a real slap in the face that you weren't expecting, The Mountain Is You. And then my favorite type of books are like human behavior and relationships. So we just recently read Mating in Captivity by Esther Perel in her book club. So good. I love Attached. I love Enneagram and personality testing. So I think it's called The Road Back to You. Fantastic book on Enneagram numbers. Yep. Love to read. Okay, next.
Nerd. What is the best business advice you've ever received?
You know what? Actually, from my friend who got me into real estate, he said something along the lines of, you know, don't sit and wait around. And what he meant by that was I was sitting by my computer, waiting for the contract to come back signed, waiting to get this. And he was like, no, go live your life, go for the hike, go see your clients. It's going to come when it's going to come. He said, you sitting and waiting, it's not going to make any difference. And that it's so simple, but so true. And I feel like I see a lot of new agents do that where they just sit and wait. Or no, I can't do that this weekend because I might have a showing. You can book your clients around your life. So that was super powerful for me. And just that permissive, no, yeah, it's okay. Like, do your thing and it's going to come when it's going to come. Okay.
I really like that, actually.
Yeah, same.
Okay. This is probably my favorite question here. Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning in a brand new world, identical to Earth, but you knew no one. You still have all the experience and knowledge you currently have. Your food and shelter is taken care of, but all you have is a laptop and $500. What would you do to resurrect your real estate business in the next 7 days?
Okay, well, I can't. I'm not going to be a boutique workout studio because that $500 is not going to go that far. I'd probably get a website started. Company like Real or EXP that's super affordable to be into that have systems set up for you internally for your website, get your website leads going, and then social media, which doesn't really cost too much. So I would say, yeah, website leads and social media.
Give us a quote that has guided you in your life and then we'll wrap this up.
Okay. A quote that I love is "There are far greater things ahead than any we've left behind" by C.S. Lewis. It's a common one, but it's so true. It's, you know, you asked me if I could go back, what would I change? Nothing. That was all there for a reason.
Say that once more because it's so good.
I said, I could go back and change anything, I wouldn't. You know, it happened exactly the way it was supposed to.
Exactly. A lot of people need to pay heed to that. 100%. Leanne, thank you so much for being on the podcast. This was an amazing chat. I loved every minute of it. We went in other directions than I normally go in, but hey, it was a lot of fun. One of the big things we like to do here on Total Agent Access is we like to be a conduit for referrals. So if anybody listening who's an agent and is referring in or out of Calgary and they want to get a hold of you, Leanne, how did they do that?
You can find me on Instagram, of course. So leanne.realestate or at leanne.realestate. You can find me on my website, which is www.viewcalgaryhomes.com. And then you can also reach me by email, leanne, L-E-A-N-N-E, at viewcalgaryhomes.com. And I would be so honored to connect with agents, people needing help anywhere. Would be so honored.
And calling. I will have all of that information in the show notes. So if you want to get a hold of Leanne, please just check out the show notes on the podcast and she will be more than happy to take care of any amazing clients in Calgary. Awesome. Leanne, once again, thank you so much. It was a real, real pleasure.
Colin, I could talk to you all day. So thank you. You are truly incredible guy. It was an honor.
Thank you. I'm blushing. Thank you so much for listening to Total Agent Access. Head on over to iTunes, hit subscribe. While you're there, leave us a review. 1 star is okay, but 5 stars is even better.